Good day to all of you Kruger aficionados out there. You're listening to Kruger Radio, Metro Manila's first and only podcast station dedicated to poker. We are Camp Pilgrim. We're a bunch of guys with a lot of spare time in our hands in hopes of making a small contribution to our growing poker community. They call me the Grouch.
I am Tipsy Tilter.
And I'm Fish.
We got a great show in store for you today, so sit tight, aggressive,
close your blinds,
and we will deal you the nuts.
We'd like to thank all of our listeners who tuned in last episode. We had a lot of fun doing it, so we hope you had a lot of fun too. We'd like to make some shout-outs to our closest friends, namely Nick, Barb, Miguel, Kat, Brian, Neil, June, Jardine, Chet, Jazz, Ace, Skip, and for those of you who we failed to mention,
to all of our loyal listeners out there, we'd like to thank you for tuning in. So, to this topic, as suggested by Tito Nick, is tournament play.
Yes, tournament play is very popular nowadays. Ever since the show WPP aired at Sports Plus.
Yeah, Sports Plus, that was a great show. And these days, there are tournaments everywhere.
Yes, true. It's
popping up left and right everywhere.
Actually, tournament play is the most popular format of game
because it features a last man standing kind of theme.
Also called as the freeze out.
Yeah.
Very cutthroat kind of game. It's my kind of game.
Yeah. Because you're a cutthroat kind of guy.
Tournaments have buy-ins, the amount that you buy in for before you enter a tournament, and then how many players does the tournament have?
Usually it depends on the range or how big the organizers want it to be. It can go from as low as 10, 30, and it could grow up to what was the last tournament? It had how many people? It's the last big tournament?
Locally, we had 100 seater, but in the States, they have like 5,000 players during the tournament.
So, gosh, again, the tournament day, why does it become very cutthroat?
Tournament play is a very cutthroat game, or cutthroat type of format, because most of the tournaments are freeze out. It means that once the chips in front of you are gone, you're out of the tournament. Unlike in a ring game,
you can buy it.
Where you could, if you lose your chips at any given time, you can always get your wallet,
rebuy three times, like Dungeon's Mike,
or rebuy as many times as you want, as long as your bankroll can handle it.
But in a tournament format, it's the last man standing. It doesn't matter, you know, how you do it, as long as you're the last one there with all the chips in the whole tournament, you're the winner.
And then tournaments have blind structures. Blind structures are timed levels in which the blinds escalate in certain increments.
But yeah, it depends on the type of structure that the tournament director sets.
Well, I've played some games where the levels go up by orbit, not by time. So how many times the blinds go around the table? If you have a relatively small
play. Yeah. The orbit thing only works for 7-go tournaments or where you play a 1-table tournament. But in a multi-table tournament, they usually use the timed levels where each level is usually timed in 30 minutes or an hour.
Basically, guys, tournaments are very cutthroat, and yes, there's a buy-in, and the best thing about tournaments are the payouts.
Yeah, it's usually huge because of the number of people joining and the last man standing, and put that in an equation, it's going to be huge.
I guess that's one thing why tournaments are very, very popular with the players today.
Yes. Back in the 2005 WSOP main event, the buy-in is just for $10,000, but the winner out of the field of 5,600, Joseph Hacham, got $7.5 million.
So it's like the biggest payout of
all sports.
Yeah, any sport. Yeah. So it's not even a sport, but you know it's huge.
Again. Many players are very getting attracted to the payouts that tournaments offer.
But despite the payout, it's still it makes the road to the top much harder because everybody is out for that huge pot.
I guess we can
in addition to that, the cash prize, the prestige of winning a tournament is really big nowadays, especially with WPT and WSOP, where the tournaments are usually televised, so people get to know your name if you win a big tournament, and you become a superstar overnight.
Yes, and WSOP, when you win that gold bracelet, wow,
you're really something. Look at Steve Dalaman. He's just an average Joe, but he won second place, and now
everybody knows him.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess we can continue now through deep into our topic.
Again, like we said, the road to the top is that much harder, but there is a way to really be in contention in every tournament.
Yeah, yes, of course.
Some players have proven that.
Yeah, in most of the tournaments, you always see a proper pro in the final table, like
Harrington.
Yeah, Harrington appeared in the final table.
Straight final table.
Twice, right? Yeah, the 2003 and that's 2004 WSOP final table main event.
And those still forget to mention Greg Raymer.
Yeah,
Greg Raymer won the 2004 WSOP title, and then in 2005, he outlasted almost more than half of the field, which is around 3,500.
Yeah, you have to consider the size of the field. It's growing every year. And, you know, like I mentioned, Harrington got in there twice in that growing field. So it's pretty impressive.
Yes.
It's very, very impressive. And again, Grouch Tilter, how does Greg Raymer, how does Dan Harrington,
how did they do it?
How do they manage to reach deep into the tourney?
I actually had the pleasure of reading Harrington's book entitled Tournament Strategies for Hold'em, the beginning part of the tournament. So there is actually a specific strategy tailor-made for tournament play as opposed to playing a cash game. So, Fish, what are your strategies or overall mindset when you go into a tournament? As we all know, you finish the top in the Scan tournament together with Goma. So give us some insights, Matt.
You know, I think, Grouch, I think you should share us your insights and your strategy with the Scan tournament, because I think,
can you share?
So people will know what to avoid, you know.
How not to do it. You know, how not to do the Grouch.
Come on, guys. Every poker player runs into some bad luck once in a while.
As I can remember, my first BBC 5 was really embarrassing.
It's an embarrassing situation that you really don't want to be in, but
yeah, everybody's in there. Everybody has the same chance of, you know, being out of the tournament just like that.
It sucks to be the first guy out.
It's no limit for them, so yeah, anybody's game.
I guess before the strategies, the best preparation for any tournament is the overall mindset and then your mental attitude about the game. It's the preparation. Again, I know that
we mentioned this last episode, right?
And no matter how skilled the player is, it's the better prepared player that comes out on top.
So let me ask our resident Zen Master here, Tilter.
Yeah.
What are your tips overall?
How do you prepare for tournament?
Well, I haven't played that much tournaments, but for those that I've played in, I always started off, you know, trying to get into that zone, trying to relax, trying to get myself into what's happening, trying to put myself into that position where I'm comfortable. I'm not trying to do something, I'm not trying to play people too much. I just, you know, relax, get into the game, and you know, get comfortable with the environment.
Well, unlike you, Tilter, every time there's a tournament, I'm always on my toes. I can't really relax and chill. Poker is a really intense game, and the intensest, even before you sit down and the dealer gives you your first pair of hold cards, it's hard to relax because it's very intense, and at the same time, the adrenaline is there. You're seeing new people you don't know. So you have to expect the worst from them, and you can't expect any respect or any...
Well, that's exactly what I love the most, you know, when you're there and there's that competitive fire in you, and you see people all around you also wanting to win that bad as much as you, or even more than you, but you revel in that, you relish that thought when you know that if I take you out, you know, it's going to be a great feeling. So that's what I look forward to.
As for me, I actually try to control my emotions before I go into a tournament, because I know that the only thing that I control is myself, and I can't control the other guy before the tournament, and because I have no information about it. So I just try to relax, just like Tilter, and try to treat the tournament just like any other tournament, just another tournament. So I have a better chance of making it to the top.
Do you bring any props like I do? Like, I wear shades. That's like a mandatory thing for me.
Wait, Tilter. Why do you wear shades in the first place?
Well, the shades, first of all, the most important thing that the shades can do for you is to, hide your eyes, because as they say, your eyes are the windows to your soul. So, if you cover that, people won't see how you react, how you stare at them. You don't know people. People won't know if you're looking at them, or you're looking at the flop, or you're looking at something, anything.
So, yeah, it's a very good tool to have your shades handy during a tournament.
As for me, I don't treat those things as props. They have purpose for me. Sometimes I bring my iPod so I don't get easily bored when I'm not in the hand. Because some of these tournaments run for hours or even days. Yeah. So
before you know it, you'd be on
tilt. But the thing is, what I hate with the people with wearing iPods during tournaments? Is that when it's urgent to act, they don't know what to do. They don't know that somebody has raced for them. Somebody just went all in.
Calling your attention, you're still listening to your...
So to all of you poker players out there who brings their iPods to tournaments, it is bad etiquette to actually not know when...
Yes. Try to keep your volume down, guys. Try to keep it down. I know, you might be... But it'll be alright if you're listening to Uber Radio while you're playing. But, aside from that, try to keep it down.
The next time I see somebody wearing an iPod and does not know that it's his turn, I'm going to call the clock and then.
So, for me, the shades helps me in a lot of ways. It hides my eyes, and it actually, it's like, you know that movie, Over the Top?
Yeah.
Where Stallone turns over his cap. And he feels like the truck. It has the same effect on me whenever I have the shades on. I feel like another player or a different man. I don't feel like the grouch. So it gives me a lot of confidence.
I don't know how pretentious Mike prepares for the tournament.
Yeah, I'd like to know what his strategy is. Really parts of the game or...
Unfortunately, I don't think
Pretentious Mike is not here. He's actually in India right now visiting some relatives.
Or maybe trying to steal some poor guy's money.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know with that guy. Anyway, let's move on to strategies. Guys, what are your strategies?
I, for one, I like to start off smooth. I don't like to start off with guns blazing. Well, that's just me, because I think I have that, superstition that I'd like to stay in the game a bit longer. So, I just, ease myself into it and start playing.
So, you play... Tight aggressively.
You
play tight.
Tight. Not too aggressive, but I'll get into that mode later on once I get through it.
I think it is nice for us to explain why we play this way in the early stages of the tournament to our listeners out there.
Guys, ideally, the strategies or the things that we are about to say are things that most players do during tournaments, and they prove to be successful. Not for the players here in Manila, but for the players worldwide.
Oh my god, it's Tony! Tony!
My name is Antonio Montar.
That's it? That's it?
You're similar, eh, Tony?
No fucking comments today. No fucking comments. Tonyo!
Alright, Tony. I don't think we need to call the security today, eh?
Yeah, no need. Pretentious is in India. So no need.
Again, with the strategies, so I guess early on, it's right to play super tight.
Yes. I actually know a guy. Actually, he's our friend, close friend of the camp. Kicks.
Yes, Kicks.
Kicks. I know that Kicks told me that he never plays the first two.
First two hands, he never
plays. The first two hands that he receives,
to just throw it away, even if it's pocket aces or pocket kings.
How come?
Because his reason behind that is the blinds or the pot is small enough.
It's
negligible for him to risk all of his chips. At the beginning part, remember, this is no limit. That's just all that we were talking about. So,
but any time your chips are in jeopardy.
Yes, but again, it's just that's Kix's way of playing the game.
Yeah, I know some people who'd like to establish their presence in the table at once. You know, establish their dominance, their aggressiveness early on, so people would know that they're
going and the best way of doing that is some players are going all in the first deal. Raising big amounts.
Yeah. Again, to show who's boss.
Again, everybody has their own way of playing early on during a tournament. But I guess, in my own opinion, from my experience, I guess it is right to play tight. What I mean is, you pick your hands, you pick the hands that you play with, you play the premium hands. Again, the top 10 hands. You don't remember. Yeah,
it's just like basketball, right? And like players choose their spots. They don't usually go out with guns blazing all the time. They pace themselves until so that when it's crunch time, when they need to act, they still have enough left in their tanks.
I think most of the people now I've seen them play, and they know how to play really tight. But sometimes they're too tight, and then. When they go deeper through the into the tournament, like let's say when they reach level 4 or level 5, suddenly their stacks seem to grow smaller since the average stack goes up a notch and the blinds escalate. I guess one of that means that they're tight. They play too tight.
Yeah, basically you have to adjust your game. Depending on the level in the tournament, when the blinds go up, that's real important. The blinds go up, so you don't want to get left behind by the blinds.
Yeah, you don't want to play too tight nor too aggressive. It's like a good general. You try to pick the battles that you can actually win,
and if you think that you're in a good position to steal a pot, like I've read in Doyle's book, Super Systems, he advises people like on which level that you need to have to be at, you need to have to at least double up at certain levels so you don't get left behind.
Yeah, so basically for me, as I reach the deeper stages of the tournament, I tend to become more aggressive.
Yeah, because some people, I myself am at fault sometimes when I get complacent, I don't change my tempo, I don't change gears, I stay in my tight mode, and before I know it, the blinds are up, and I can't catch up.
It's very essential in the middle of the tournament that when your stack is low or when it's just the average stack, it's very essential for one to go in there and just gamble, because
you need to gamble once in a while.
Because like what Lord Brunson said, you're gonna go like Boonkorn's uncle.
Yes. So,
who's Boonkorn's uncle?
Yeah, why should I explain that to us, Grouch?
Why should I explain that? Why am I becoming your resource person, man?
I don't know who's Boonkorn's uncle.
Again, there's a short tale about Boonkorn's uncle. It was said that Boonkorn's uncle would just sit down, play his cards really, really tight, and just wait for the blinds to eat them up. That's what's going to happen to you guys if you play really, really tight.
In a tournament.
Early on, yes, it's good, but those blinds are slowly munching away on your chip stack. So when you reach the middle levels of the tournament, the middle stages, you really need to double up, and you really need to get in there and gamble. You can't say that, you know, there's no cards, there's no pocket aces, there's no pocket kings. You know, you have to play. That's why you're in the tournament. You really have to play, no matter what.
Another very important part of tournament play is actually when you're lucky enough or fortunate enough to to reach a final two in heads up play. But I think that's a good topic for our next episode or a future episode. So guys, let me get your final thoughts about on tournament play.
Well, tournament play for me is just that state of mind. You gotta get yourself in that state of mind to get your mental attitude into that level where you can play consistently, and you know what you're doing. You don't get distracted. You're always there.
Okay, I'd like to break down the tournament into three stages. That's the early, middle, and late. Early on, I suggest one must play tight, only play the premium hands. And during the middle part of the tournament, when you get when you increase your chip stack into when you increase like 20 or 30% of your chip stack, of your starting chip stack, I suggest you start playing a little bit loose. You start changing gears. What I mean is you start playing your position more than your cards, because you've already established that reputation at the table that you only play tight hands. And then later on, depending on you mix it up. Later on the levels, later on deeper into the tourney, if you have a big stack, try to push all the short stacks. Put them on the defensive side. If you're a short stack, I suggest you go all in with the best hand that you've got, with the best possible two cards. That's it.
And for me, just be mindful of the blinds. Just be aware of the blinds and be aware of the big stack in your table.
Don't go for the big stack in the table. He'll bully you for sure.
Just bet according to the blinds.
Unless, of course, you're the big stack. Yeah.
Just bet according to
the blinds. Pick your spots. You'll do good. Go and gamble. Pick your spots. I guess that wraps up our show for today. I'd like to say hi to a couple of people, namely Mo. I hope you're listening. Number one rounder. You suck.
You are gay, man.
Yeah.
And again, to our fallen comrade,
Goma.
Get well soon.
And to all of our other friends out there, we know you're the same.
Yes, Car. Namely, Car and Isa.
So if you'd like to access our show, you can log on to uberradio.blogspot.com, or you can email us at uberradiomanila@yahoo.com.
And if you want to sponsor this show,
we're still cheap, but our stock is rising.
better now than never. So again, they call me the Grouch.
I am Tipsy Delter.
And I'm Fish. And you're listening to Uber Radio, your instant release of bad beats.
Brought to you by Camp Holder.